Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It's been a month and a week. Myanmar's military coup happened on February the 1st, and that reversed years of slow progress towards democracy, which in the 5 decades previously had suffered under strict military rule that led to international isolation and sanctions.
So this might explain why in a meeting with the United Nations Special Envoy for Myanmar this week, military generals indicated they do not fear renewed sanctions or isolation from other countries.
Yeah, just earlier in the week, ASEAN foreign ministers called on all parties to refrain from instigating further violence and for a peaceful solution through constructive dialogue.
But just one day after those efforts, 38 people were killed in the bloodiest day since the coup began, when police and soldiers opened fire with live rounds in several cities and towns.
So that brings, what, the death toll now to something like more than 50, I think?
Sadly.
Yeah, our Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong has also condemned the authorities' use of lethal force.
And the Singapore government is now urging Singapore citizens currently in Myanmar to leave the country as soon as they can.
Well, let's try and find out more about the situation in Myanmar with Tan Hui Yi, Straits Times Indochina Bureau Chief. Hui Yi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for waking up early to help us out with this. I suppose to start us off, I mean, it's been a month and a week. Could you paint the picture in Myanmar for us right now? What are you hearing on the ground?
Well, it's incredibly grim. The police and soldiers on the streets are using a combination of tear gas, stun grenades, rubber bullets, and increasingly live bullets to disperse protests. So like you said, well over 50 people have been killed so far, and quite a few of them have been killed by shots directly to the head. The regime is not targeting protesters, but also journalists and other people doing live streaming of their activities. Mm. We've seen police aim their guns upwards and shoot at people in apartment buildings. They've also been targeting medics and anybody who gives aid to the protesters, basically. On Wednesday, medical workers in Yangon were bundled out of the ambulance, forced to kneel on the ground and basically bludgeoned on the head with rifle butts and other objects. It's all incredibly disturbing to watch. They've also been making mass arrests, especially during curfew hours. According to the Assistance Association of Political Prisoners, over 1,500 people have been arrested since the coup. But the thing is, the protesters are still coming onto the streets, and all this has made them actually even more defiant and determined. They have continued their peaceful demonstrations, but they're also taking more precautions, obviously. They're carrying more protective gear, like homemade shields. But they're running away when the soldiers come near, only to re-emerge in other areas.
I have to say, this is really, like you say, you use the word disturbing. It's disturbing, it's shocking, and of course, it's gaining international attention. The UN Special Envoy on Myanmar, Christine Schreiner-Bergener, has noted that opposition to the coup was being spearheaded by the young people, the ones that you describe, who've lived in freedom for 10 years. They don't want to go back to dictatorship and isolation. So the violence clearly not deterring them. I mean, you described how they disappear, but then they spring up again in other areas. Is it spurring them on?
I wouldn't say it's spurring them on, but it's making them more determined not to back down. Obviously, some of the older protesters are likely to keep off the streets now because of the increasing violence. But what we're seeing is a lot of young people now are out on the streets in defiance of the crackdown.
Hui, we've had a lot of ASEAN foreign ministers urging the military in Myanmar to desist from violence. Obviously, that's not working. I mean, what are they going to do next? This talk is not getting anywhere, but to take action could make matters worse. What is your understanding of the situation and why their political attempts have failed so far?
To be honest, there's very little ASEAN can do if Myanmar does not allow ASEAN to attempt some form of intervention in the situation. ASEAN is an intergovernmental organization. It is not a supranational organization. Mm. So it works by consensus, right? It espouses policy of non-interference. It can only exhort the Myanmar military to desist from violence, but it has no power to directly stop violence. And ASEAN has offered to facilitate a negotiation among the key political stakeholders within Myanmar. But the fact remains that it can only do so with agreement from Myanmar. And at this point, the generals don't look like they want any negotiation.
Yeah, in fact, the military there seems to be really unfazed by the prospect of isolation or economic sanctions. So what options are actually open to the United Nations, for example? Anti-coup protesters there, they're calling on the UN international military intervention under the responsibility to protect. This is this international norm, right, that seeks to ensure that the international community doesn't fail in halting any mass atrocities against people, right?
Yes, the thing is, military intervention remains a very remote possibility. There's a very high bar set for such forceful intervention, and it would face opposition from China and Russia, the permanent members of the United Nations Security Council. And bear in mind, though, that while the United States, Britain and European Union have imposed sanctions on key leaders in the Myanmar military, they have not exhausted their options when it comes to sanctions. The Myanmar military owns two major conglomerates, the Myanmar Economic Holdings and the Myanmar Economic Corporation. These two conglomerates have not, at this point, been directly sanctioned by the Western nations so far.
I was wondering, actually, what is making the military so confident?
Well, it has survived Western sanctions when it directly ruled Myanmar for some 50 years before its democratic transition. So it's pretty confident it can survive them again.
Been there, done that type of situation in that sense. Hui, I'm interested to know Singapore's stance with regard to this. I mean, our Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong has spoken up about the matter, Vivian Balakrishnan, the Foreign Minister, as well. But Singapore is one of Myanmar's largest investors. What's going to be done here? I mean, they've asked Singapore citizens living in Myanmar to leave the country as soon as they can, at least.
Well, okay. The Myanmar people are asking Singapore businesses to stop working with the Myanmar military conglomerates.
Okay.
Right? And as I mentioned, those two companies have a wide reach in the Myanmar economy. But the fact remains that at this point, they have not been sanctioned by the Western powers. So it is technically legal to still continue working with these two military conglomerates. Singapore, as the largest investor in Myanmar, has a lot of businesses involved in the economy that I imagine would somehow touch on the businesses of these conglomerates. So within Myanmar, there is a call for businesses to cut back on their cooperation with these two companies. But Singapore maintains that it needs to keep business and politics separate, that it,
sure.
You know, we cannot impose these political imperatives on businesses.
Can we just talk about the role of China here? How influential is China in Myanmar with regards to the military and the military's actions, and how can its influence be used in a more constructive way?
Well, actually, Myanmar's military has been wary of being over-dependent on China in the past few years. It has been actively cultivating ties with Russia and the Russian military, but having said that, China has influence over ethnic armed groups by the border. But it's also one of the largest investors in Myanmar. So yes, if China wanted to, it could play a very influential role in pushing the Myanmar military to ease off on the violence and consider political negotiations.
Hui, to wrap things up, the UN Special Envoy on Myanmar, Christine Schraner-Bergener, is due to brief the UN Security Council later today. Do we have any expectations on what she could potentially address?
Well, she has asked UN member states to take very strong measures. At this point, the UN Security Council has not condemned the coup directly, but it has called for the release of Aung San Suu Kyi. It's also voiced concern over the one-year state of emergency. But like I said earlier, bear in mind, there are still several levers that can still be used in terms of sanctions before we even talk about military intervention, which I have to stress again, is very unlikely to happen despite the appeals that we are seeing coming from people inside Myanmar.
Okay, we've been speaking with Tan Hui Yi, Straits Times Indochina Bureau Chief. Really appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.